a video game show. It's not a game show about videos. It's a video game show.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening, Monday, October 3rd, 2005, and you are listening to the Dream Station CC Video Game Show number 25. For all the latest video game news and reviews, as well as user forums and our downloadable podcast archive, set your web browser to www.dreamstation.cc. You can also email us at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. I'm Bob, and I've secretly replaced your regular host Chris with Dark Rich Folger's crystals. Let's see what happens. My co-hosts tonight are Keith, Phil, and Tom. Please introduce yourselves, gentlemen. Keith.
Greetings.
Philip.
Yo.
Thomas.
This episode already sucks.
You I'm cutting your ass out. You are not even getting that far. New at Dream Station CC this week, we have a Burnout Legends for PSP review and the Namco Museum 50th Anniversary Arcade Collection for GameCube review. That's a lot of words. On the show tonight, Adrian Carmack of ID files a suit against ID, Bumblefoot to draft a bill for the Florida legislature, Horizons Empires of Hysteria gives free subscriptions to active military, the PSP rips off more people with new memory pack, take a look at PSP's load, GTA for a PSP, and Sony advertises with the Lord. We'll also be checking out the new Xbox 360 Omega Dell bundle, the Xbox Live predictions for the 360, the iPod Nano screen scratching problem, as well as the podcasting gold rush. We'll look at EA and their wanting to dominate mobile gaming. Keith will tackle Nancy Drew. Keith on the forum question. Oh, and we're also going to have the top 10 list of names from a random document. Brought to you by Keith. That will become self-explanatory once we get there.
Next topic.
Adrian Carmack files suit against ID. One of ID's five co-founders, Adrian Carmack, is filing suit against ID Software, claiming his employment contract was invalid when he was recently fired from the company. In the documents he filed, it was brought to light that Activision had made a bid for ID's Doom, Quake, and Wolfenstein franchises in the neighborhood of $90 million in the fall of 2004. The four other owners rejected the bid, saying that the offer was too low. Carmack claims that it was so they could buy out his 41% share of the company at a lower price before the rest of them sold. Quote the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Carmack claims the decision not to sell the company was part of an effort to force him to sell his shares back at a fraction of what he would made in a sale to Activision. So, scandalous and scandalous. Anybody have any thoughts on this?
It makes sense. I mean,
it makes sense, but it's a little bit rude, wouldn't you think, considering he's one of the five co-founders? Hey, buddy, how you doing? We're going to fire you before we make a ton of money because we hate you.
Hey, man. Welcome to capitalism. We claw to the top rung on the backs of our fellow employees. You know, capitalism, it's basically like, you know, the rule of orcs. Whoever sits in the chair rules until someone comes along and kills them and then sits in the chair.
Fantastic. Tom, you had one to
read
add
the
something.
Book Masters of Doom? Because it's basically about the founding of id. And this Adrian guy, I guess before he came to Doom, he was working as like a nurse's aide or something like that in an emergency room, so he would see all kinds of severed limbs and bodies opened up, and he used that as inspiration to making the Doom graphics.
Maybe this is like a forced resignation for, like, you know, missing janitors. Janitor Stan was working here for like a week and now he's gone. Oh, don't mind the moth in my room, my office. It means nothing.
I'd like to sit in on that guy's next job interview. They'd be like, well, what happened to you? Well, I was fired. Well, I'm looking at your resume and it says here that you made Doom.
My buddy Todd, he was trying to get a job actually as a janitor. And they're sitting there at the interview, and he's with a room full of the bigwigs. Don't ask me why the bigwigs are interviewing a janitor, but they were. And, you know, they're doing the usual, do you mind cleaning up blood? No. Do you mind cleaning up puke? No. Do you mind cleaning up feces? No. What's your favorite animal? And Todd didn't know what to say, so he said, an owl. And they're like, oh, why? And don't ask me why he said this. Todd says, I like to collect their beaks and make necklaces out of them and dance around my front yard in the rain wearing them. Needless to say, he got a call from the people saying they didn't want to hire him due to conflicting views of ethics.
Wow. All right, then. not that we're drifting off topic or anything, but just in case anybody wants to know, if this podcast ever gets big, we're going to do the same thing to Phil. Moving on.
So just because, you know, you're saying that, that Adrian and being one of the founders of Doom doesn't say much, because look at John Romero, who's pretty much become joke in the industry. He was one of the big two.
Next topic.
I'm glad Chris isn't here, because our friend Bumblefoot is in the news again. Bumblefoot to draft the bill for Florida legislature. He's getting a chance to write his own law. In an email he sent out Thursday, Bumblefoot states that he has been asked by the office of the governor of the state of Florida, Jeb Bush, I love that name, to draft and submit him and to Florida legislatures a bill that will prohibit the sale of violent and sexually explicit video games to minors. While such a bill would need to pass both houses of the legislature, the lawyer said that, quote, the office of Governor Bush has told Thompson that the governor will sign such a bill if it is placed before him. There are no details about what kind of penalties the bill would prescribe for offenders or whether or not said penalties would be imposed solely on the clerk selling the games or also on the establishment selling the games and or the game's publisher. So it's pretty specific. Rather than having Chris sit here and blow off steam about this, Keith, the responsibility falls to you. Feel free. Rant.
Alright. Let's see. First off, why the f*** is your name Jed? You're Jed. Secondfoot. Bumblefoot. It's Florida. No one cares about it. Half of it has been destroyed by hurricanes. Let's see. Why would you pay $1.29 for 2 liters of soda? You can go down the street and get one for 99 cents. Besides, half of Florida doesn't speak English anyway, so no one's going to understand their disgruntledness, and they're just going to babble in foreign languages that no one will understand, and Bumblefoot, speaking in third person, will think he won again. Bumblefoot did good. Bumblefoot drafted a thing for Congress, and Jeb signed it. Go Jeb. Sign Bumblefoot's thing. Way to go.
I think we've all talked about this enough in the past, and what an idiot we think this man is, which is why we call him Bumblefoot. Any other comments, concerns before we move on?
I hope we didn't alienate our Florida listeners.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
Next topic.
Horizon's Empires of Asteria gives free subscriptions to active military. Telga Games, makers of Horizon Empires of Asteria, has announced that players currently serving in the military qualify for a free account to encourage playing with friends and family back home. Quote from the official website. Telga Games recognizes and appreciates the efforts of men and women who have volunteered to be part of the United States military. We'd like to show our support and acknowledge their contribution and sacrifice through a program for military personnel and their families. Starting September 19, 2005, all new existing Horizons Empire of Asteria accounts created using a .mil email address used by the military personnel and family will have a second CD key added to the account for free. This will allow you to play Horizons with another family member together at the same time on one account. We hope that this will allow military families to play Horizons together, giving them a family-friendly environment where they can meet, talk, and play together over the internet. Now, I think this is fantastic for a couple of reasons. One, I can't wait to see what kind of video game death this is going to give us when our military starts playing MMOs. I mean, this is going to be spectacular. Two, this is a great way for Telga Games to bring attention to themselves, because this looked like such a crappy MMO to begin with. That's the only way they can get
people. Dragon.
You can be a dragon, or a minotaur, or some other thing that's horribly overpowered. I just can't wait though. Like, my unit was hit with a rocket propelled grenade because instead of being on watch, I was gathering herbs for an hour and a half.
I mean, I have to question the fact, are they actually doing it to be nice, or are they just doing it because their game's failing miserably and they're trying to draw some people into the world?
I don't know. This is a great way to get free advertisement for them, just from everybody going around, oh, look how great Telga Games is, by giving away accounts for free, even though that's the only way they can get people to play the game.
Yeah, but Anarchy Online's been trying that. They've been giving away free accounts all year, and their game still sucks.
That's great. That's classic. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I really don't see anybody really getting too interested in this, especially overseas.
Dude, I'm in the middle of
desert. I mean, I think you'd be a little more worried about a freaking sandstorm coming at you than trying to slay a dragon.
Dude, the sandstorm. I'm worried about getting bombed and blown up by a car bomb.
Next topic.
So the PSP rips off more people. Sony is now offering the Memory Stick Entertainment Pack for all you PSP users. Besides a larger 512-megabyte Memory Stick Pro DUO, a bundled CD includes clips from Sony television shows, upcoming films, and demos of Gretzky NHL 06 and NBA 06. I'd like to point out that it still doesn't include a game, You know, you wouldn't want to do that, or, like, include a game with it. And even better, if you notice, it came with a bundled CD, which means you need a computer to upload them to your PSP anyway. And then I was thinking, heaven forbid, instead of a CD, putting it on UMD so you can read it directly, but then I guess you wouldn't need the memory stick, huh? And it's actually cheaper if you just buy the memory stick by itself.
Dude, Ken Kuriagi is getting that diet, man, eating those scrumptious PlayStations for breakfast. Got his innards all messed up. That dude's just, like, you know, strung out like a crackhead right now.
You know, if they're still having, if they're still losing a lot of money, I'd be willing to give $5 towards one. Just send it my way.
Next topic.
PSP launches its load, and it's not dirty because PSP has launched PSP has launched Load Magazine. The 120-page electronic magazine is formatted to be read on the PSP and features reviews, coverage of the PSP's European launch, CG and TGS. I'm not even sure what the hell it is. A DV to PSP how-to guide and more content. The media edition also includes a couple of music tracks. The magazine is currently only offered in .zip format. As such, it needs to be downloaded, unzipped on the computer, then put on the PSP. Again,
why don't they allow for such easy use of everything?
If they put half this much effort into putting out some games that people would actually like to play, you wouldn't have a $350 device that only you can only play golf with.
Like, most of the games are third-party games, meaning not made by Sony. So isn't it up to them to make the games, and maybe they're just not?
So that the PSP isn't the platform worth spending time and effort towards?
I mean, that's a given, but it was just more of a general question, like, isn't that how it's done?
Sony guys listening to the show, and then when we say things like that, they're like, oh, ouch!
Ooh!
Next topic.
GTA for the PSP. Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories is set to release next month for the PSP. And on the website, it has announced that it has added multiplayer content. And so far, there are three multiplayer modes. Liberty City Survivor, where the first player to reach the kill limit or have the most kills when time expires wins. Protection Racket, where you're supposed to destroy four limos at the opposing team's base and protect your own limos. And the third mode is called Get Stretch, where each team must protect their own car while trying to steal their enemy's car. So far we have Deathmatch, Domination, and Capture the Flag, most of them with cars. And my thoughts on this was, considering GTA and what a great franchise whole series has been, I found these were pretty uninspired. I mean, this is just like run-of-the-mill, playing every other first-person shooter game except in, you know, with mobsters or whatever. I was just expecting something a little cooler. Anybody seen Empire? The movie with John Leguizamo in it? He was all gangster.
Yeah, that was
anyway.
A good movie.
Okay, well, I was kind of expecting something like that, where, like, I don't know, you'd have, like, you'd get on teams that were gangs or whatever and, like, try to control corners or areas of the city for, you know, trying to sell drugs or whatever. And, like, you know, the whole point of the game would be to be able to take over the whole city. Oh, something else rather than just, like...
And then
know.
It wouldn't be allowed to be sold in, like, Australia and...
Yeah, well, whatever.
Florida.
I thought they'd do something more. Because at first I read this and I was like, oh my god, PSP's actually going to have a game worth getting. Because they're going to be, you know, a multiplayer GTA. That's going to be sweet. Oh wait, this is just every other multiplayer first-person game I've ever played. Nah.
I don't know. I wasn't too impressed with the multiplayer that they had set up on the Burnout game. Chris and Chris were a matter of 10 feet apart from each other, and they had trouble loading, and there was all kinds of lag, and it just really ruined the game.
It had like a seven-minute load time when they were trying to connect.
The game in single-player mode was fun, but just waiting 5 to 10 minutes just for the load time to play that game, and then just to have all kinds of lag and not be able to figure out who was who, and just really ruined the game. So I don't know if that's going to take away from this game as well. The one thing that probably was the problem was that they were only playing off of Chris Ivan's one UMD disc, and Chris Palladino did not have the game. So I wonder if two people had the game themselves, it probably cut that down quite a bit. But oh,
we'll have to try that. We'll have to make Chris buy a copy, just so we can see. Or hell, if you're Sony and you're listening right now, prove us wrong. Send us another copy, and we'll see how your load times are. Because as of right now, I don't think we're going to convince anybody to purchase any more of your shoddy merchandise.
Next topic.
We've got it. We've come to my favorite headline of the day. Sony advertises with the Lord. I love this,
this
one.
Great.
This is straight out of Reuters. I didn't edit it or anything. Sony has apologized for an advertising campaign for its PlayStation game console, which featured a young man wearing a crown of thorns with the slogan, 10 years of passion. Some Catholics were outraged by the adverts, which ran in newspapers and magazines to celebrate the product's 10th anniversary. This time they've gone too far, said... I'm going to kill this poor name. Antonio Sciortino, editor of Famiglia Cristiana, a Christian family, a mass circulation Catholic weekly in Italy, apparently. In the Bible,
that's
Jesus
the only place the ad was run.
That's a great place to start it, in the Vatican. Oh, they'll love this. In the Bible,
oh, German, you won't mind. Did you just say you should smell this fart?
Yes.
Jesus. Yes, Chris is gone, and it's all go to hell. In the Bible, Jesus was forced to wear a crown of thorns by mocking Roman guards before he was crucified. In the advert, I love this, a young man smiles cheekily, wearing a crown whose thorns are twisted into geometric shapes that are PlayStation's logo. In a statement, Sony Computer Entertainment Italia expressed regret over the reaction to the advert. It acknowledged that the spirit of the message was misunderstood and said the campaign would not continue. Now, hopefully on the forums, because there's still a link to the picture of this thing, and it's great, and I'd love to get it up there, because the dude looks like such a tool, and then you look at it, and you're like, oh my god, that's horrible, and then you look at the crown of thorns, and it's like triangles and squares and crap that are right off the... It was magnificently horrible.
Now, there's one thing. Redeemo and I were chatting a bit last night, and we were talking about how, Sony's marketing people... You know, while they're crazy, insane Japanese guys, they're still intelligent humans. So I can't think that they'd really think that... I can't believe that they'd really think that no one would be bothered by this. I'm thinking this is one of those publicity by bad publicity.
I don't know. Do they know who the President of the United States is?
Do they know what the Vatican is and where it's located?
I mean, honestly, because
you really don't
have any news about the Xbox 360 this week. It's all Sony and their mishaps. But still, the name of Sony is being thrown about.
Fair enough.
Next topic.
GameStop has announced the new Omega Dell bundle for the Xbox 360. The bundle is listed at $4,499.68 U.S., along with four wireless controllers and 20 games, includes a 42-inch Dell widescreen plasma TV, and I love this, big letters at the bottom, limit one per customer.
Holy
again. Do you need to put the limit one per customer? Lemmings, all of you lemmings!
Whatever.
Well, this goes to prove a point. My company exclusively leases and purchases PCs and servers and laptops from Dell. This just goes to show that the company Dell is as big of a whore, almost as big of a whore as Microsoft themselves.
But you know what? Everyone loves a whore.
Everyone does love a whore, except another whore.
Next topic.
Xbox Live predictions for the 360. Robbie Bach, Microsoft's senior vice president in charge of Xbox marketing, has claimed in an interview that at least 50% of Xbox 360's owners will subscribe to Microsoft's Xbox Live. Currently, only 2 million customers, or 10% of the total installed base of Xbox players, are subscribed to the live service. Bach argues that this number should increase with the Xbox 360 due to a combination of factors. Increased household adoption of broadband, promotional bundles such as the Xbox 360 Silver Package, special Play Live for Free days, and more compelling game content such as upgrades and special features for existing games hosted on the live network. Predicting 50% penetration for Xbox Live seems at first wildly optimistic, but if Microsoft can execute on its strategy and provide players with more and more compelling reason to subscribe, they might actually reach that goal. Well, the thing is, here's my humble opinion, but again, I'm usually the minority. If I'm going to spend $500, $700, $2,000, or, you know, heaven forbid, $4,500 on Xbox, and then not get Live, that just seems, you know, kind of dumb, and you've already invested so much money into it, why would you, you know, quit at that point?
Especially since Live hasn't increased in price, it's still $50.
I'll only pay for Live if the new controllers have some kind of electrode on it, so when you quit, when you're losing, you get shocked near to death.
I think probably the bottleneck may not be the cost as far as, like, how much Live costs, because, like, as Keith said, it's pretty reasonable for the service you're getting. But, I mean, it just if you have broadband or not, because a lot of people still don't have it, or like, you know, poor Ivan, if you live in the country anywhere, you really have a hard time getting broadband.
Or New Orleans.
Or no.
Okay, let's look at the infrastructure side of this and the technology. How many people did they say that they have on the current Xbox Live?
They said they have 2 million customers. 2 million. That's 10% of anybody who has an Xbox.
That means about 20 million people have Xbox Live, so half of that would be 10 million. Could you imagine it, 10 million people trying to hit Microsoft or Xbox Live all at the same time? I mean, if you even got maybe 2 or 3 times that, 5 to 6 million people, I'm sure you're gonna degrade the quality and the performance of the games.
Next topic.
Some iPod news. Since we are a podcast, we should probably talk about the iPod and our brand new iPod Nano.
There, Keith, what? Do you have any good? Yes. Sorry. I'll start over again. Keith, do you have any good like Chris stories that are embarrassing to Chris? Because now's the time to tell them.
Oh yeah.
Chris stories that are embarrassing to Chris.
Or just make one up. He's not here to defend himself.
So there's this one time, dude, when we were back in college, I, like, you know, came by to visit, and I walked into his room, and he totally got his face buried in some dude's chest.
That just made me think of a good story about Chris. It was right after he broke up with his ex. He was all bumming, so decided to take him out and bring him over to my buddy's house for a party. And mind you, Chris has really never been drunk before this. He just got plastered beyond belief, and was stumbling around the house, just smashing his face into things because he couldn't feel it. He was having everyone at the party punch him because he couldn't feel it. He was just, oh gee, he was so bruised and battered. And then like 1 o'clock rolls around, and he's sitting in the on the toilet, puking, gagging, he just keeps going, can't help me. We would laugh at him and give him another beer and walk away. But it was the most pathetic sight we've ever seen in our lives. It was really funny.
Well played, Keith. Thank you. Well, Chris, this will show you to go on vacation ever. To make your living hell even worse. We're making fun of you when you're not here and stuck in Disney World. I want to hear about Nintendo anyway.
Is he in the
anyway.
Same state as Bumblefoot right now?
Oh my god! If they were to touch, the implosion that would result would swallow us all whole.
A rift in the time-space continuum.
That wasn't another hurricane at all.
That wasn't Hurricane Ophelia. That was Chris coming in contact with Bumblefoot.
Next topic.
iPod Nano and its screen-scratching problem. This is from Macworld. Since being introduced almost 4 weeks ago, the iPod Nano has taken the MP3 market by storm, earning accolades from reviewers and industry analysts alike, but not everyone is completely satisfied. Some customers have complained about scratched and or broken screens on their iPod Nano, leading one user to even set up a website to outline his problems. Apple Senior Vice President of Worldwide Product Marketing, Phil Schiller, said there are two completely separate issues going on here. One is the broken screen, and the other is a complaint about the iPod screen scratches. In addressing the broken screens, the first of the two issues, Apple said that they have tracked down the problem. This is a real but minor issue involving a vendor quality problem and a small number of units. In fact, this issue has affected less than 0.1% of the total iPod Nano units we've shipped. It is not a design issue. Schiller said that if customers find they have this problem, all they have to do is contact AppleCare and their iPod will be replaced. Now, that was for the screen breaking problem. The second issue deals with complaints posted on websites that says the iPod Nano screen scratches too easily, perhaps even being more susceptible to scratching than previous iPod models. Apple said that the screens of the iPod Nano are made with the same material that is found in the company's fourth generation iPod, which to date is complaint-free. We have received very few calls from customers reporting this problem. We do not think that this is a widespread issue, said Schiller. If customers are concerned about scratching, we suggest they use one of the many iPod Nano cases to protect their iPod. This
Who
is something
cares,
that I,
you
I,
yuppies and hipsters? Yeah. Go back to drinking your mochas and doing your graphic designs.
Chris only drinks, he's like one of them coffee He, like, drinks the mocha espresso, and when he does drink alcoholic beverages, he drinks, like, you know, Bacardi watermelon-flavored rum. I'm going to go have me a mudslide.
Absolutely nothing to do with the iPod Nanos.
We bought one of those for our mom for her birthday.
Has she had any screen-scratching problems?
No.
Okay.
That's what I thought, because didn't we have that thing last week? There was that one article we looked at where they tried really hard to destroy them and then couldn't?
Yep.
Anybody who has an iPod Nano, if you're listening, please post to the forums or send us an email.
So if they're just scratching, why don't you just get like a little clear plastic cover and like put it over?
Because it's like $19.95 for your iPod cover.
If it's going to scratch that easily, then yeah, it should come with it. I mean, it's obviously designed to be a portable device, and I think they even said somewhere that it was designed to be put in the front pocket of a pair of jeans like they show on all the little commercials. And if that's not going to scratch the living hell out of something being, you know, put in and out of a pair of pants that has metal rivets on it, I really don't know what the hell else is going to scratch it. So if that's its intended use,
we got
it should have been designed against that.
Next topic.
The podcasting gold rush. The race is on to figure out whether there's any real money to be made through the new medium of podcasting. Consider the vast variety of approaches that have cropped up since Apple's iTunes upgrade this summer started delivering thousands of new listeners to podcasters who once toiled in obscurity. One of the biggest challenges is getting sponsors when most don't even know what a podcast is. Some recommend referring to the media as an online radio show, which isn't right, but close enough. In addition to polishing their pitches to advertisers, podcasters are experimenting with different business models or hoping a network will buy their shows for syndication on broadcast or satellite radio. And I just love this because can you feel the rush, Keith? Can you feel all of the money that we're making, how it's just pouring in?
Yeah, my PayPal account is...
We're getting all these, all these advertisers just banging down our door.
Well, dude, come on. The only sponsor we can possibly hope to get is Sony. Sony is the only one that's willing to put Jesus on an ad for 10 years of passion. They're the only one that'd be willing to listen, put their name associated with our idiot selves. And
that's
all
right.
We do is bash them, so we're not getting mad. We've been pimping Nintendo lately. Maybe they'll, show us some love.
Daddy needs a new TV.
Next topic.
Oh, and our last news story of the day, EA wants to dominate mobile gaming. It's from WGGamer.com. At CTIA, IT Wireless and Entertainment 2005, Electronic Arts revealed that it will launch mobile versions of Harvest Mania, Word Womp, Word Class Solitaire, and Squelchies, as well as mobile games based on FIFA Street, Def Jam, and SimCity franchises in winter 2005, spring 2006. These titles build on EA's commitment to bring hit games to mobile phones nationwide. Now gamers will be able to download the same compelling gameplay, real-world sports rosters, and rich service-based communities found in the game's counterpart console, PC, and web games. In his keynote address at the conference, John Batter, VP and General Manager of Electronic Arts EA Mobile Group, noted that the growth of mobile entertainment hinges on our ability to deliver meaningful communities and unforgettable experiences. At EA, our focus is to drive the medium forward by bringing our franchises to market in a way that resonates with the unique play patterns of the mobile consumer. I mean, is this even... Does anyone even care? Do you guys play games on your cell phones at all? Anybody? I don't.
Yeah, no, I do. That's, you call up the number,
I
and the answer, you hang up.
That's a fun game. I played that one game where, like, you press the buttons, and you can make music with them. It's like a keyboard, but, like, they make all these really weird notes, and they're not in order, so it takes a while.
I play a game where I press the buttons, and then someone I wanted to speak to says hello to me.
No, the best game is when you drink a lot and then call ex-girlfriends.
That's great.
Next topic.
No, everybody's been waiting. It's Keith's special report as he tackles Nancy Drew. Keith, take it away.
Yes, Sunfire66 mailed me Nancy Drew and the mystery of the old clock.
Oh, dear. My clock seems to be all befuddled.
For those new viewers tuning in, the reason we like Nancy Drew so much is because it's been an Amazon.com top seller for like 6 months or something. So anyway, go ahead.
It probably is right now if you go look. On DreamStation.cc, Sunfire66 did a whole entire review, and it's a good review. But I started playing it a couple days ago just because, it's an old clock and I have to figure out, how to wind it. But it's one of them adventure games where, you go solve the little puzzle and get the key. So far, there's only been one puzzle that I've actually didn't know the answer to, but by delivering telegrams, some lady told me the answer. So I haven't even had to cheat yet. It hasn't been that bad. But the whole thing is...
You're a 14-year-old, so way to go, Keith.
Damn. you put it like that. No, dude, it's not made for 14-year-olds. It's made for ages 10 to adult. It's not even made for 14-year-olds. Wow, man, that just took some wind out of my sails. The game is actually fun. I mean, I am enjoying it, which I find funny because I'm Nancy Drew, and I'm driving around town in my 1930-something Roadster trying to figure out some old guy died and didn't leave this chick any money, and then her jewelry got stolen, and I have to go talk to a psychic and drive around delivering telegrams for money. It is an interesting game, and it's kind of fun. When I beat it, I'll let you know if I actually had to cheat for anything. And heaven forbid if I need to cheat, because it says ages 10 and up.
Next topic.
Next, Keith, you're going to take care of the last week's forum question for us.
Organized video game tournaments. The poll question was, have you ever been involved in an organized video game tournament? 75% and 25%.
That's no and yes, respectively. No and yes.
Dude, it's Chris, man. Come on. Everything about him is weak. Chris, like, takes poll, like, forum questions that are insightful. I take ones that make me laugh. Smart Alec said that he hasn't done anything involved with a tourney because, A, he lives in a town that doesn't have anywhere to host any kind of a game tourney. B, he's too dirt poor to afford online gaming. What that has to do with tournaments, I have no idea, but that was still an option that he gave. And C, he's a loser. Okay. Digital creator, I got to wonder about you because you started one of your questions. You said Max Rule. So, come on, man. You said Max Rule.
Wait, I guess you aren't doing many organized gaming tournaments either, are you?
Oh, bro.
Anyway.
Max have fun with games like Warcraft and that Blockbreaker game and Warcraft.
He said he played Rummy with his grandmother, and that's almost like Pokemon, isn't it? He said some people, maybe even some in this forum, are nuts when it comes to certain games. Figuring out the actual percentage of damage and different variations of the same attack is insane. I guess if it gets you to win, then it's worth it. I just hope these people know that a real job in life will get them a lot further. Unless the experience as a game for inspirations is a real gig, and then you're off to a good start. G52 exclamation point. That's a nice name, by the way. You need to, like, remove the exclamation point. It's easier to say. He said, no, I haven't been to a tournament, nor do I want to. The problem with video game tourneys is the skill level is extremely unbalanced, and you play a game casually, you have no chance of beating the people who are nerds and play these games for like 500 hours. Same problem happens with online leagues, too. And that makes sense. And then what Digital Creator is talking about are people that memorize. You know the people that I'm talking about, the ones that are like,
Chris.
If you do the spinning uppercut and knock him into the air and then do the mega ultra butt, it hits him for an extra 5% damage.
I call this the sodomizer.
But I mean, really, not too many people it seems have been in these tournaments. Redeema and Omega 71 both hosted them. Redeema was a judge for one, and Omega 71 said he used to run them in his store, and he'd sponsor like 16-man Halo tourneys. But he also sponsored a Dance Dance Revolution tourney. So it seems like the people that have involved, for the most part, I mean, it just seems like most people haven't. And honestly, I can't argue with that because,
have you
ever been around that many gamers? They smell.
I just didn't want to have to.
The gathering tournaments. Yeah, you gotta wear a car airbrushing around your neck.
Oh, well. Anyway, enough of this. That was a dumb poll question anyway.
Regardless. And we're not making up another one because Chris isn't here and that's his job. And we've done enough work. I've done enough work.
Yes, you have.
Yes, I have.
Good job. The poll question is, do you live in your parents' basement?
Hey, f*** you, man.
Next topic.
Our final topic for the evening is just a little something fun, is the top 10 names from a random list. Go ahead, Keith.
All right. The one guy's name was Harold Newts. It was Harry Newts, N-O-O-T-S is the guy's name. another guy's name that I found particularly amusing was Mahogany Johnson. Go Mahogany. Now this lady, I mean, her parents were creative. Her name is Mindy Linda Melinda. Then there's the ever popular Foxy Ann Bullocks.
I love how this show is just degraded into just random nonsensory. Continue.
This is the ever popular Wendy Waddle. Now this guy's name, I gotta give him credit. This is a cool name. His name is Cliff Deathridge. Robin Robinette. Chiquita. Just like her name is spelled like the banana. Then there's Sage Time, like name written and spelled the same way as the two spices. And I don't even know how you spell this guy's name, but I found it funny. A-W-J-J is his first name. Waj. Williams.
Make him stop it! Make him stop! Come and stop! Stop it!
Unfortunately, you have been listening to the Dream Station CC video game show number 13. www.dreamstation.cc for all the latest video game news, reviews, interviews, and cashews, as well as user forums and our downloadable podcast archives. Email us at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Vote for us on Podcast Alley, Odeo.com, or on Winamp because we are ratings whores. Thank you ever so much for putting up with us yet again, and hope to see you next week.